Okay, reading from chapter 16, Pramaya, Jiva and Maya. So, Pramana is the Dasamula. There's 10 key root subjects in Lord Chaitanya's teachings that are being discussed now from the Guru, Babaji Maharaj, disciple of Rajanath. And the first one is Pramana. And then I believe the next 9 are Pramaya. Pramana is the means of knowing, and Pramaya is what is to be known. And one of the subjects to be known is Jiva Tattva. And this particular chapter in the history and dialogue will be discussing the subject of Jiva. And basically, this is the origin of the Jiva, the most controversial, difficult, and subtle subjects. And a little disclaimer at the beginning, the Jiva Dharma apparently seems to discuss a little bit different than how Prabhupada dealt with it. It doesn't discuss the jivas being with Krishna in the spiritual world. It discusses it a little bit differently. But at the same time, I remember when Jiva Tattva was a very, very super controversial issue, and one book was written, and I was at a GBC meeting, and just as an observer, and Gaur Govindamarj, came up, and he started to read that Prabhupada apparently said different things on it. So his point was to not promote really one or the other. That Prabhupada just said different things, and a lot of things I think in spiritual life have to do with a certain level of realization to understand. And especially the subjects where there is a junction of the spiritual and material world, like Jiva Tattva, Guru Tattva, and Dham Tattva. Because you're dealing with a junction between a realm that has no time and a realm that has time. So, how can you discuss when? How can you discuss even questions of origin? I was reading, and actually there's a commentary of the Yoga Sutras, mostly a translation of the commentary by Professor Edmund Bryant, and he discusses that just most spiritual traditions therefore don't discuss the origin of the living entity. They deal with the reality of the living entity is here and how to get out. And that's basically Prabhupada's emphasis. And it's a very, very faith-testing subject. Because it deals with why the living entity is in bondage and why God did not create the living entity in some other type of perfection, as he did certain living entities, which we'll read in the chapter, who have other living entities who have are eternal manifestations, like the Nitya Siddha associates of Krishna, and in the Loka Vrindavan or in Vaikuntha, who have no contact with Maya, although they have free will. So, personally, this is personal, these subjects don't bother me. I just accept a very limited perspective of the world and trust that God's perspective is higher. So even though something may not conform that seems Shastra to my sense of fairness, I have to take a humble position. What is my sense of fairness? What is my perception? And there's a higher reality. And I'm just lucky to be connected with it, and I'm lucky to have the chance to embrace it. So let's follow now this personality, Vrajanath. There'll be also another interesting sub-theme. Now, he's really getting into Krishna consciousness and detachment's awakening in his mind. And now his family is going to put pressure on him to get married. So it's going to be interesting to see how that subject fits into the touch of Krishna consciousness. So, Vrajanath is the protagonist that we are following in his enlightenment now. The logician who has become attracted to Krishna consciousness and is advancing rapidly. Okay, having heard the illuminating descriptions of Jivatatta in Dashamula, Vrajanath returned home. Lying on his bed, he was unable to sleep and he began to reflect deeply. I have received an answer to the question, who am I? Now I can understand myself to be simply an atom of light in the effulgent rays of the spiritual sun, Krishna. That's such a nice description of who we are. An atom of light in the effulgent rays of the spiritual sun. And that was described, that atomic ray, atomic particle needs connection with the sun to maintain its nature. And once it leaves the orbit of the sun, it loses its nature. So that's the quality of the jiva, how it's simultaneously spiritual, the same nature, and at the same time material, or influenced by material, to lose its nature. And the very nature of jiva tattva, the very nature of jiva tattva is, I love how Vaisheshika Prabhu put it, open to suggestion. Which puts such an importance on sharing spiritual truth, to give people, an option to choose something that's in their interest, when so many people are giving people options to choose things that are not in their interest. Although atomic by nature, I have my own inherent value, purpose, knowledge, and a drop of spiritual bliss, Bindu Chagata Ananda. I have a sarup of the spiritual particle, Chitkana. So there is, it's not an illusion. We have already went over this. It is an entity, and although it's small, it has its own individual nature and existence. Its own value, its own purpose, it's something. And it is something in relationship to God. I have a sarup of the spiritual. Even though that form is atomic, it is like Sri Krishna's human-like form. So now he's saying there's actually form. There's some kind of individual nature that corresponds to God's form. Of course, at this point also, it is... I don't like the point contestable, but there are different opinions on this. Of course, we're accepting Bhaktivinoda Thakur as our guru, but there's an opinion that it needs a... It's consciousness that needs a body to exhibit that consciousness, spiritual and material. But here, very happy to hear and see that Bhaktivinoda Thakur puts it this way. Now, unfortunately, I cannot see that form. Only an extremely fortunate soul can see it. It is important that I understand clearly why I suffer in this unfortunate condition. Tomorrow, I inquire about from Sri Gurudeva. Why am I in this situation? Why I am suffering? That's so important. A test of faith. Even the greatest Christian apologist will say that this argument against the existence of God is the strongest. The suffering of a living entity dedicated to God or not dedicated to God in a reality where God is good and God can do anything, which questions whether God is good or whether he exists. Thinking thus, he finally fell asleep around midnight. Before dawn, he dreamt he had left the world and accepted Vaishnav dress. When he awoke, he definitely thought, it appears that Krishna will soon pull me out of this samsara. So, when you wore the dress, it was significant. You weren't a man in the world. He's talking about Vaishnav dress as Babaji Vesh, just loincloth. And the next morning, while he was sitting on the porch, some students approached him. Offering their respects, they said, "For a long time you have taught us very nicely, and under your guidance, we have learned many profound subject matters pertaining to Nyaya. We hope now that you will instruct us on Nyaya Kushmanjali." With great humility, Vajranath replied, "My dear students, I am unable to teach you anymore, for I cannot fix my mind on teaching at all. I've decided to take another path. Under these circumstances, I suggest that you study under the guidance of some other teacher." So, he's changing. And with that change is going to come a change in his profession. Because he's a teacher and he's no longer interested in the subject he's teaching. And, this happens. With internal change can come external change. Of course, sometimes we can't change what we want because it's not our karma. And the discord that we face is part of our path of liberation. But naturally, when you change internally, you try to make the world more conducive to a spiritual elevation, try to make the world more conducive to a spiritual elevation, but God will ultimately decide what is conducive. There's a general conduciveness that things support my spiritual life, and then there's a higher sense of conduciveness that the way God supports our spiritual life is by giving us certain realizations. And sometimes he does it by making environments that are not conducive to the practice of Krishna consciousness for a higher purpose. When they heard this, the students became unhappy, but since there was nothing they can do, they gradually left. Naturally, you know, we have a comfort zone. And when we find a good teacher, if we find a good teacher, we're happy because we want to learn, and this person can teach us. So whenever there's a change of a teacher, or even in sports, a coach, or you know, someone who's teaching, it's traumatic. So students weren't happy. At that time, Sri Chaturbhuj Mishra Katak came to the house to present a proposal to Vrajanath's paternal grandmother, whose marriage he said, "I am sure you know Vijayanath Bhattacharya. His family is good and quite well off. Thus, it will be a suitable match for you. Most importantly, this girl is as qualified as she is beautiful. On his side, Bhattacharya will make no conditions regarding the marriage of his daughter with Vrajanath. He is ready to marry in whichever way you desire." So now comes this incredible proposal. It doesn't even seem like there's a demand of dowry. The girl is beautiful. Not only beautiful, she's qualified in every way. Hearing this proposal, Vrajanath's grandmother became exhilarated, but Vrajanath became perturbed. "Alas," he thought, "my grandmother is arranging my marriage while I am planning to leave my family in the world. How can I feel happy to discuss marriage at this time?" Later, there was an intense struggle of arguments and counter-arguments in their home regarding marriage. Vrajanath's mother, grandmother, and the other elderly ladies were on one side, while on the other side, completely alone, was Vrajanath. The ladies insisted in various ways that Vrajanath should get married, but he did not agree. The discussion continued the entire day. Around evening time, it began to rain heavily and kept pouring throughout the night, so that Vrajanath could not go to Mayapur. So anyway, all of a sudden, now he's in this conflict because he doesn't want to get married, and his family does. And marriage is the right, is Krishna's will, it's Dharma, for 99.9% people or more. So it's natural that when people don't want to get married, then their guardians show concern. And if they have some attachment, as there is in family, then they become a little bit angry even. So this is what's happening. Around evening, and then, just as you're going through hell, and you want your spiritual relief, it rains that day and he can't leave. So Krishna is putting a lot of pressure on him. The next day, because of the heated arguments about marriage, he cannot even eat his meal properly. In the evening, he went to Babaji's cottage. He paid obeisance and sat down. Babaji said, "Yesterday night, it was raining quite heavily. That's probably why you couldn't come. Seeing you today gives me great happiness." Vrajanath said, "Prabhu, I'm facing a problem I'll tell you about later. First, explain to me, if the jiva is a pure spiritual entity, how did he become entangled in this world?" Babaji smiled and said, and this is the sixth Dashamula. So this seems to be one of the key pramayas, subjects to be known. So Supata hinan nijashukaparan krishna vimukhan hare maya danyan unanigadar jali kalyati vitastu lai lingadri vitavaranai krishnirakai mahakarmalana nayati patitan swagan niro nirayau Dashamula, Shloka 6. By his original nature, the jiva is an eternal servant of Krishna. His sarup dharma is service to Krishna. The part of Krishna were meant for Krishna's service. And that seems like such a absolute reality of morality, that if there is a conscious universe, then everyone's duty is to serve, and by serving that universe, serve everyone. The hand feeds the body, everything is benefited. Rather than the other option is try to center myself. There's two options. Either be part of something greater or try to be great independently oneself. Now, trying to be great independently oneself is not our nature. So it's actually a suffering condition. Even though we perform that way for happiness. We do something crazy, that the same thing that causes us suffering is what we seek for pleasure. And the same thing we seek for pleasure is that which causes us suffering. Bhagavan's illusory energy, Maya, punishes those jivas who are opposed to him and who have given up their constitutional dharma, becoming absorbed in material enjoyment. She binds them in the ropes of the three modes of nature, sattva, raja, and tama, covers them with gross and subtle bodies, puts them in the miserable cycle of karma, and forces them to suffer happiness and distress in heaven and hell. So there's something we do to cause it, and that's not wanting to be what we are. And God satisfies that by allowing us to be what we are, but which we actually are not. And because an artificial position could never be congruent with ourselves, it could never be satisfied, God doesn't make that a happy position. It's not a happy position, but he makes it a worse condition so that we'll get out of it. Otherwise, we'll just wallow in this unsatisfactory situation of illusion caused by our desire not to be what we are. What God does is he just turns up the suffering. He gives reactions to that. If he didn't give reactions to that, we just sit in a world of malaise. We sit in a world of no love, which is what we choose. But God says, no, I want you in the world of love. And therefore, the world of no love, which you want, I'm going to give a reaction to that no love consciousness, so you'll give it up. Innumerable jivas appear from Sri Baladev Prabhu to serve Vrindavan Bihari Sri Krishna as his eternal associates in Goloka Vrindavan. And others appear from Sri Sankarsana to serve the Lord of Vaikuntha, Sri Narayan, in the spiritual world. So here he's saying the jivas come from manifestations of Baladev. And again, it has to be described in the context of time when a spiritual event is beyond time. Eternally relishing rasa, engaged in the service of their worshipable Lord, they always remain fixed in their constitutional position. They always strive to please Bhagavan and always favorable to him. By virtue of the spiritual shakti, they have the strength to stay fixed in devotion, and they have no connection with the material energy. In fact, they are unaware that there is an illusory energy called Maya. Since they reside in the spiritual world, Maya stays far from them and does not affect them at all. So let's see how this is apparently reconciled, that God actually does have the potency to create living entities who have no touch with Maya, even though they have free choice. That choice is never presented to them, nor would it have a chance because of the spiritual shakti that's invested in them. So why does he create us who are here suffering in this world? Look at this world. It's really accelerating into madness. That's what I mean. That's my perspective from Govardhan, where there's such a reality in Govardhan. There's such a spiritual reality in Govardhan. I had a real one sense I never want to leave. I don't know if I'm qualified to stay here and keep up this level of spiritual intensity. But it's just the relationships with other Vaishnavas that are deeply practicing Krishna consciousness in a way that they live in this spiritual energy. It creates such a pleasantness. And I was just reflecting on our Prabhupada disappearance festival. It's just the God brothers that got together and the people that were there listening. Some thought came to mind, and I just need to. One second. Always absorbed in the bliss of serving their worshipable Lord, they are eternally liberated and are free from material happiness and distress. Their life is love alone, and they're not conscious of misery, death, or fear. Hey, I want that. Why wasn't I created that way? There are innumerable atomic conscious jivas who emanate from Shri Dakshai Vishnu's glance upon his Maya Shakti. Innumerable atomic conscious who emanate from Karna Dakshai Mahavishnu's glance upon his Maya Shakti. Since these jivas are situated next to Maya, they perceive her wonderful workings. Although they have all qualities of the jivas I've already described, they are very weak because of their minute and marginal nature. So this is humbling. We are the minority. It doesn't matter if we're chanting two rounds, no rounds, or 64 rounds, or the vow of Haridas Thakur. We are the minority. So if we want to think ourselves great, even if we can excel in this world, it's like being a model prisoner. This marginal condition, the jiva becomes debilitated, because at that time he has no spiritual strength from his worshipable Lord's mercy. Among these unlimited jivas, those who want to enjoy Maya become engrossed in mundane sense gratification and enter the state of eternal bondage. On the other hand, the jivas performing chit anushilakilanam of Bhagavan, that means devotional service, receive spiritual shakti, chit bala, by his mercy and enter the spiritual world. Baba, It is our great misfortune that we've forgotten our service to Sri Krishna and have become bound in the shackles of Maya. Only because we have forgotten our constitutional position, we are deplorable condition. Vajanath. Prabhu, I understand that this marginal position is at the junction of the spiritual material world. Why is it that some jivas go from there to the material world while others go to the spiritual world? Babaji, Krishna's qualities are also present in the jivas, but only in a minute quantity. Krishna is supremely independent, so the desire to be independent is eternally present in the jivas as well. When the jivas uses his independence incorrectly, he remains disposed towards Krishna. When he misuses it, he becomes opposed to him. It is just this opposition that gives rise to the desire in the jiva's heart to enjoy Maya. Because of the desire to enjoy Maya, he develops the false ego, and he can enjoy material sense gratification, and then the five types of ignorance, tamisra, forgetfulness of one's constitutional position due to anger and envy. Under tamisra, considering death to be the ultimate end, tamas, not knowing anything about the spirit soul, moha, the illusion of the bodily concept, and maha moha, madness for material enjoyment. Okay, that's interesting. Five types of ignorance: forgetfulness of one's constitutional position due to envy, considering death to be the ultimate end, not knowing anything about the soul, the bodily concept of life, and madness for material enjoyment. This cover is pure atomic nature. A liberation or subjugation simply depends on whether we use our minute independence or misuse it. So this is a choice. Everything is choice. And choice requires knowledge and discipline. Without knowledge, you don't know what to do. Without discipline, you can't do it. Everything depends on choice. And we chant the Hare Krishna mantra to pray for the strength to make the right choice, and the strength and the love that will attract us to the right choice. Vajanath, Krishna is Karuna Maya, so why did he make the jivas so weak that they can become entangled in Maya? He is Karuna Mayi. He's the embodiment of mercy. So why you make weak jivas that can become entangled? Okay, we'll finish with this answer, and we're going to discuss this in a few days. It's a dialogue, so it's not the answer fully. It is the truth that Krishna is Karuna Maya, overflowing with mercy. However, he is also Lila Maya, overflowing with desire to perform pastimes. Desiring different pastimes to be enacted in different situations, Sri Krishna trains the jiva to be capable of all conditions, from marginal state to the highest state of Mahabhav, and to facilitate the jiva's progressing practically and steadfastly towards becoming qualified for Krishna's service. He has also created the lower levels of material existence. Beginning from the lowest inert matter up to Ahankar, which is the cause of so much obstruction in attaining Paramatmananda. Having fallen from their constitutional position, the jivas who are entangled in Maya are opposed to Krishna and engrossed in personal sense gratification. However, Sri Krishna is the reservoir of mercy. Thus, no matter how low the jiva has fallen, Krishna will still provide him with full facility to attain the highest spiritual position. He brings this about by appearing before him with his spiritual abode, Dham, and his eternal associates. Those jivas who take advantage of this merciful opportunity and sincerely endeavor to the higher position gradually reach the spiritual world and attain a state similar to that of Sri Hari's Nitya Parishad's eternal associates. We'll read one more. But for the sake of Bhagavan's pastime, why must the jivas suffer? Wow, Rajanath, he's a logician, so he got right to the core. For the sake of his pastimes, he's also Lila Maya, so he enjoys exchanging also with the external energy, in a way, and exhibiting the quality of mercy. So why do we have to suffer for that? Babaji, the jivas possess some independence. This is actually a sign of Bhagavan's special mercy upon them. Inert objects are very insignificant and worthless because they have no such desire for independence. Only because of the jiva's independent nature does he think himself the master of the world. Misery and happiness are conditions of the mind. Thus, what one may consider misery is happiness for one engrossed in it. Since all varieties of material sense gratification finally result in nothing but misery, a materialistic person only achieves suffering. When that suffering becomes excessive, it gives rise to a search for happiness. From that desire, discrimination arises, and from discrimination, a research into the nature of the ultimate reality is born. And as a result of this research, one attains satsang, the association of saintly people. Whereupon Shraddha develops. When Shraddha is born, the jiva ascends to a higher stage, namely the path of bhakti. Gold is purified by heating and hammering. Being opposed to Krishna, the jiva has become impure through engaging in mundane sense gratification. Therefore, he must be purified by being beaten with the hammer of misery and the anvil of the material world. By this process, the misery of the jiva opposed to Krishna finally culminates in happiness. Suffering is therefore a sign of Bhagavan's mercy. That is why intelligent people see the suffering of jiva in Krishna's pastimes as auspicious, though the foolish can only see it as an inauspicious source of mercy. Vajanat, the jiva's suffering in his conditioned state is openly auspicious, but in the present state it is very painful. Since Krishna is omnipotent, couldn't he think of a path less troublesome? So brilliant. So we'll kind of end the talk for here. Are there any questions? I think we're going to get into some interesting stuff. I think the last chapter is just so tedious.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Gail, yeah, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, what chapter is this we've been reading?
Oh. What chapter are we reading here? Thank you, Gail, for being... I wouldn't do this if it wasn't for you. Thank you for always... It's because I was losing interest myself because I was so frustrated with the last chapter. It was so difficult. And then, you know, if you're not right on, then people don't come. They have so many things to do. Not everybody's going to wait it out. Chapter, I think it's 16.
Yeah, that's what I thought, actually. Yeah, I just have one question is... Actually, I have many questions, but, you know, earlier on, well, you know, it just seems like he's asking all of the questions that I came into Krishna consciousness with, but earlier on he asked something like, you know, if the jiva is full of knowledge, if the jiva is full of knowledge, how did he end up here? Do you remember him asking that question, something along those lines?
I, I, I don't remember that.
Oh.
I don't remember that. I think he. Yeah.
But it was just like, you know,
that.
It was like a full of the jiva question. I mean, they all have been, but
no. He asked. I don't know if he's full of knowledge. The question he asked is why didn't he make the jiva full of knowledge? He said that in a minute degree, and that knowledge can be covered. But it wasn't full of knowledge to the extent that they never can fall into Maya.
Yeah, I have to listen to the recording because, you know, it was such a great question. They've all been great questions, but that one really, you know, he asked something that...
It's not full of knowledge. It's not. If he's full of knowledge, he can never be covered. It has to be
Don't we always say that these are the qualities of the spirit soul, full of knowledge, full of bliss, full of eternity?
But if full of knowledge doesn't mean he has full knowledge. It means he has knowledge. And that's called sat. Yeah, I don't... It's his nature is to be aware and it becomes covered, just like the nature of water is liquidity. When it's ice, the liquidity becomes covered. So it's not that he can't be covered from his nature. And what is knowledge? Knowledge means to understand reality.
So when we say that the jiva is sat chit ananda, the sat means only that he has awareness of reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Gail.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else join us today?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Radharani.
Very good. You're a good student. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else? Say hello. I think it's going to get interesting now. I think we may have lost members with that last chapter, but I think it'll pick up. Okay.
This class was fascinating. Yeah.
It was. Vanchakalpa Pudra Shakata Sindhu Deva Chapatita Lambhava Nidya Vaishnava.